This is Alive with Joseph.
Give the Lord your highest praise this morning. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Welcome to church. Welcome everybody. Amen. Let's get into scripture. Still standing, as it is our tradition to read the word of God. Standing. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 8. I read it, says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from their flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to walk to three people on my behalf. Kindly look straight into their eyes and say to them, is the question you're going to ask them, is God your source? Is God your source? Hallelujah. Now you go ahead and give Jesus praise. Amen. Please, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Were you blessed this morning? Ready for what the Lord will do for us? Amen. So we're looking at, you know, we've been on the series, the generosity series, and we're looking at this morning, is God your source? Now, that passage we have read, Jeremiah 17, is talking about trusting in man or trusting also in human strength rather than trusting in God. So we're looking at, you know, God being our source, and we also will explore biblical pillars for divine provision and also divine prosperity. We need to understand that God is our source as believers, and every other thing is a channel. Every other thing is a channel. Never forget that. Every other thing is a channel. And do you know that channels only make sense when you have a source? For example, you can have the best tap in the world, you know, in your house, and the best plumbing system in your house. If water is not flowing out of the source, the good plumbing system and taps will be useless. If water is not flowing out from that source, the good plumbing system and the taps, they will be useless. Why? Because what makes the tap useful and the plumbing system amazing is the source where the water is flowing from. So your business is a channel. Your friends that can be, you know, a blessing to you from every season, from one season to another, is a channel. Your employer is a channel. Your investment is a channel. Your wealth portfolio is a channel. But God is your source. Never forget that. Repeat after me. Say, God is my source. I put my trust in him as my source. Say amen to that. So you and I must know that God is our source. And you and I must also understand that the one who planned our life is our source. Also know that you are not an accident of procreation. God is the source of your life. At the same time, he is the sustainer of your life. He is not just the source of your life, he is also the sustainer of your life. And that is why, as you have received life from him, you must also look up to him to sustain the life that he has given to you. You must look up to him to sustain the life that he has given to you. So Jeremiah 17 now also says to us from verse 7 to 8, and I say, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the streams. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. Never fails to bear fruit. I pray for you. You will have no worries in the name of Jesus. I declare you will never fail to bear fruit in the name of Jesus. So anyone, the Bible tells us, who trusts in the Lord will have no worries in the time of drought. They will have no worries in the time of drought. That is to say, you know, when drought comes, worries will not be there. Why? Because your trust is absolutely in God. So is there anyone this morning in this building that you are worried about provision? You are worried about supply. Can I say this to you? That is an indication that your trust is not fully in God. Is there anyone in this house this morning? You are worried about, you know, losing what you have, worried about losing your business, worried about losing your finances, worried about losing your job. If that is the case, is an indication that your trust is not fully in God. And the Bible tells us that the one who trusts in the Lord is blessed, and they will not be anxious in the days of drought. They will not be anxious in the days of drought. That is to say, when there's a recession, they will not be anxious. When there is inflation, they will not be anxious. When there is retrenchment going on, they will not be anxious. When the channels are drying up, they will not be anxious. Why? They know that their source can never dry up. All that needs to happen is for another channel to be open for them. And I don't know where you under the sound of my voice. Your channels may have dried up, but I declare this morning, the Lord opens a new channel for you in the name of Jesus. I say God opens new channels for you in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. So as long as your source is still intact, there are many more channels that can open up for you. And I know that many of you, you have huge responsibilities towards your family, huge responsibilities towards your children, towards people around you. But one thing you should know is that God does not need you to feed 5,000. All he expects from you is to put the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish on the table, and he would use it to feed the 5,000. All he expects from you is to put in his hands the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he will use it to multiply and bring increase into your life. And I pray for you, enter your season of increase in the name of Jesus. So you and I must know that the pressure is not on us to multiply what is in our hands. The pressure is on God to multiply it. And that is why we put it on the table, put it in his hands so that they can multiply. All you need to do is put your trust in him. Lay on the table your loaves and your fish. You step aside and watch the multiplier multiply it for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8 to 11 says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to the Almighty God. Amen. So the Bible tells us here that God is able to bless you abundantly, not sparingly, abundantly. He's able to bless you abundantly. And I went further to say that God is the one who multiplies your seed. He is the one who supplies you the seed and multiplies it. He's the one who supplies, you know, the seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What this simply means is that God knows you need more seed for you to have more harvest. And also at the same time, he knows that you need to sustain. He knows that you need to be sustained for today. So what does he do? He also gives you bread for today. He gives you seed for you to have more harvest, and also gives you bread for today. I pray for you again. Your bread for today will not diminish in the name of Jesus. I say your bread for today will not diminish in the name of Jesus. So he gives you bread that sustains you for today. So the challenge is, many believers convert their seed to bread. When you do that, you mortgage the future. When you convert your seed to bread, you mortgage the future. Why? Your hands will be empty for future harvest. Your hands will be empty for future harvest. We live in a world where many are mortgaging their future harvest for now. And many are turning, they are converting their seed to bread. Listen, friends, God gives you bread for today and gives you seed for the future harvest. Never convert your seed for future harvest to bread for today. And I pray for you, may you not mortgage your future harvest in the name of Jesus. So we live in a world that is obsessed also with hustling and making quick money. It then becomes easy for people to mistake a channel for source. We live in a world where people are hustling. It becomes now easy for people to mistake a channel for source. It becomes easy for you to mistake your job for being a source. Your job is a channel. It becomes easy for you to mistake your business for being a source. And yet, your business, your job, your career, they are all sources. Amen. So God is a source of life and also the sustainer of life. Kingdom prosperity starts with the revelation that God is our source. Our job is not our source. Our business is not our source. Whoever God is using to resource us in any season is not our source. Whether you are young or old, know this. Have this understanding that God is your source. And when you accept Him as your source, you trust completely in Him. You trust completely in Him. The reason why many have not trusted completely in God is because they have not yet accepted Him as their source. They have accepted Him as the Savior of their soul, but they have not accepted Him as their source. So they trust Him with their salvation, but they don't trust Him with their resources. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Will it not interest you to know that there are people who will not mind sitting in someone's office for the whole day just to, you know, waiting on the person because the person has made a promise to them? They go there, sit the whole day, even when the person is bypassing them, and tell, I will see. They will sit there patiently waiting. Those who do tender, they can understand. They will sit waiting patiently. And yet, such a person will not be able to wait 1 hour in the place of prayer. But they can wait on man. They can wait on man patiently. But they cannot wait 1 hour in the place of... Why? Because that man is their source. They forget that God is the source. That you can wait the whole day on a human being. If God has not opened up, who is the source has not opened up, no matter how you wait, the channel can never flow with water. The channel can never flow with water. Haven't you noticed when we have, you know, water issue and there's no water coming from the municipality, no matter how you turn your tap, if you like, turn it and break it, water will still not flow. Why? Because from the source, nothing is coming. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So sometimes the reason why it looks like channels are not cooperating with us is because the source is not open to us. When the source is open, channels have no choice but to cooperate. Whether the channel is a devil, the channel will have no choice but to cooperate, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. Once the source opens up, the channel doesn't have to like your face. The channel doesn't have to agree with your faith. The channel doesn't have to agree with your color of skin. Doesn't have to agree with your tribe, your nationality. Once the source opens, the channel will have no choice but to cooperate. I pray for you. Channels will cooperate with you in the name of Jesus. I said they will cooperate with you in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. Hallelujah. God is the one who leads us. When you chase after Him, He knows how to direct your steps to the right things in the marketplace. And any time that you and I put our eyes on man, we sabotage ourselves. And another way people get frustrated is when they are chasing money directly instead of finding a way to add value. This mindset is what seduces people into the get-rich-quick schemes that people fall into, and into pressure. When you're chasing after money, you come under pressure. It now leads to where people now, their relationship with God becomes transactional because they are chasing after money. Listen, friends, God blesses, and I am a recipient of the blessing of God. God prospers. I have seen it, and I'm a witness to the prosperity of God. But friends, when your focus is on money, your relationship with God will become transactional. When your focus is on money, is on material blessing, your relationship with God will become transactional. I and Cordelia, our relationship with God has never been transactional because our focus has never been on what we have or we don't have or what God gives us or doesn't give us. And even if He doesn't give us, we will still serve Him. Our serving Him and loving Him has never diminished. Why? Because His love for us is greater. His love for us is greater. Listen, friends, you must know that God blesses, he prospers, but you must understand that is not your focus. Because if your focus becomes the prosperity, you will become transactional in your dealing with God. You will become transactional. A Life Church believes in prosperity. We're a blessed church. We're a blessing to others. But our focus as a church is not on the blessing. Our focus is on serving humanity, finding every possible way and opportunity to add value to everyone who connects with us. Everyone who connects with us. From the days when we had nothing to the days where we are, from the days where we are young men who served, who were students under us, who couldn't afford a laptop. Let me even share this. I just remembered this earlier on today. You know, when there was a time I and my wife, we bought laptops for ourselves to be using. And one young man, he's still with us till today and doing very well for himself in Johannesburg. You know, one young man, he just entered university then and he had nothing. He needed a laptop. My wife took her brand new laptop and gave to him to take to school, and me and her were sharing one laptop. So being a blessing, I've always been our desire to be a blessing. Listen, friends, and that has been the focus of our Life Church. Yes, we have seen the blessing of God. Our Life Church is blessed. We are blessed, but we are blessed to be a blessing. 2 days ago, we took 96 tickets, 96 men's conference ticket, paid ticket, sponsored, 96 sponsored ticket from the church to a rehabilitation center that is rehabilitating men on drugs and alcohol and all. 96 tickets given to 96 men to come attend the conference for free. Give Jesus praise, please. Because our focus is to add value, to add value, to add value to everyone who connects with this ministry. So friends, you are blessed to be a blessing. There are some people who are blessed, but nobody feels the impact of the blessing of God in their life. No one, their family doesn't feel the impact of the blessing. The Church of Jesus Christ doesn't feel the impact of the blessing. No one feels the impact of the blessing of God in their life. And if your life is not on a mission, your money cannot be on a mission. If your life is not on a mission, so your life must first and foremost be on a mission for Jesus, then your money will follow suit. If you are saying, I'm on a mission for God, and your money is going on a different direction, it means you're not telling the truth. You're not telling the truth. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. He said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Treasure and heart go like hand in glove. Treasure and heart go like hand in glove. Hear me? Money is the least form of blessing in the kingdom of God. Money is the least. That is why when a man has not conquered money, he is a danger to the Church of Jesus Christ. He's a danger. When he has not conquered ordinary tithing, ordinary giving to God, he's such a person is a reckless danger walking that can destroy things in the house of God. Because money is the least. Money is the least. The least of blessing, material blessing in the kingdom of God. The highest level of blessing from God is that he makes you a value-adding person. So God loads your life with solution, with value that you can add to other people. That is the highest form of blessing. That you're adding value to people's life. That is the highest form of blessing. And can I ask you this morning, is your life adding value to other people? Because it is in adding value to people's life that an exchange for the value is made. The value you add to people's life, an exchange is made. We live in a world where people just get rich quick without showing how they got there. And when you live in a corrupt continent like Africa that makes room for a lot of people to get rich without working for it, you end up thinking that money is something that just falls from somewhere, or money is something that happens as a result of corrupt relationships or as a result of political relationships. But you forget that money is an exchange for value. Money is an exchange for value. Money is an exchange for value. Many don't bring any value to the marketplace and they expect money in return. around. Why? Because in the continent in which you and I live in, we have seen people who, you know, they didn't bring any value, but all of a sudden, they are multi-millionaires. All of a sudden, they have money stashed out in Swiss accounts, in American banks, in Barclays Bank, in the UK, and all of those places. Why? Because in Africa, it makes room to become rich overnight without showing the process that brought the money. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Amen. That's what happens in the continent that you and I belong to. So it becomes too dangerous because people begin to think that that is how money comes. But understand that money revolves around exchange. Money revolves around exchange. You must be ready to be rewarded for the kind of value you are adding to people's life. Be ready to be rewarded for the value. And that's why you and I must bring value to the marketplace. So let's look at how God prospers. Let's quickly look at four pillars of kingdom prosperity. Hear this, friends. If you are not in Christ, you will have to be in the occult world or the diabolical world to operate at certain level of wealth. If you are not in Christ, you will have to belong to Satan. Let me use the word Satan so you can understand properly. You will have to belong to Satan to be able to operate at certain level of wealth. Why? There is contention on the flow of wealth in our world today. Why? Wealth confers influence and power on people. Wealth confers influence and power on people. When Satan came to Jesus to tempt Jesus, you know, after the 40 days prayer and fasting that Jesus had, one of the temptations that Satan presented was wealth, fame, and influence. That's one of the temptations. Why? Because Satan gives wealth, Satan gives fame, Satan gives influence. Jesus never disputed that. Jesus didn't argue with that. Jesus didn't say, Satan, you are lying. You can't give wealth. No, no, no. Jesus knows that Satan gives wealth. He gives fame. He gives influence. So that was one of the temptations that Satan came to say, if you worship me, I will give you this. So he can give fame. He can give influence. Satan can give money. But the requirement is your worship to him. And the funny thing is, worship to Satan is demanding. Go ask those who belong to him. Ask them. Call them aside. Let them tell you the truth. Worship to Satan is demanding. Some of them, there are certain things they can never do in their life. Some of them have, you know, certain things, maggots inside of them that when they remove their clothes, their smell, and I'm not talking about, you know, imagination, real life. Because they have mortgage. That's why they can't give you that money. They won't. They won't give because they know what they have gone through to get it. And you just want to come and take it. That's why you see them, such places, such people, you see, even when family members are dying, they refuse because they are like, I'm suffering here. And I'll come and, no, 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 you to go look for the devil to give you your own. Hallelujah. Amen. They are ruthless with their money. That's why when anybody steals from them, it's death. Capital punishment. Because when Satan gives, his requirement is worship. And he doesn't give you details of the worship until it is time. Hallelujah. So you must know that, you know, for you to come into certain level of wealth, you either belong to God or you belong to Satan. You can't sit on the fence. So, but today we're looking at, you know, the kingdom of God that you and I have been translated into. You that is now in the kingdom of God, you cannot now be comparing yourself to that person that is fraternizing with Satan. That is why it worries me when I see believers who are comparing themselves in social media spaces with unbelievers. I've seen believers, I've seen I've seen a pastor stood on the pulpit, make a very funny, childish statement that Elon Musk doesn't pray and fast, Elon Musk doesn't tithe, and yet he's the richest man. For me, that worries number one. Do you live with Elon Musk? Do you know what he does in the secret? That's such an ignorant statement to be made. Do you follow Elon Musk around? Are you Elon Musk's wife? That you can beat your chest and say such a thing. That's such an ignorant statement.
Dangote doesn't fast and pray, but Dangote is very rich. What are you talking about? You don't know their secret life. You don't know the altar sponsoring them. They never show you the altar. Hear me, friends. Every king on this earth has an altar and a priest that is sponsoring them. Every king on the planet earth, every king in the marketplace has an altar sponsoring them. The secret is this. They don't come out openly to show you their altar. If they do, they know you will run. But if they know what some of them have covenanted into, if you know the heavy covenant speaking on their head, for them to be able to amass, you can't sit at such level of wealth ordinarily. It's not possible. But a believer will be comparing themselves with an unbeliever. And the wicked part is, I've never seen an unbeliever compare themselves with believers. But believers are the ones. Go to social media space. Particularly believers who are Bazaluanis. Born again Christ. They are the problem. They are the problem. They have too much revelation in their head. They are behaving anyhow. They have no control. They are like loose cannons. Including their pastors who follow them. Who are the ringleaders. So you and I need to be very careful. We belong to this kingdom. We don't compare ourselves to any other kingdom. We belong to this kingdom. I cannot wake up and be comparing myself to an imam, a Muslim imam. No, no, no. Do you know the chantings he does every day? I cannot and say, I don't see an imam, wake up to do morning prayers, so I must not pray. What are you talking about? So you and I need to be very careful. We now belong to the kingdom. And the kingdom you and I belong to, there are pillars God has given to us. So we must be careful of ignorant people on social media spaces saying that, all the rich men are not, they don't tithe, they don't do anything. I laugh in 3D. Amen. Okay, let's look at number one pillar quickly. Number one pillar is covenant obedience. Covenant obedience, which is prayer, gratitude, and faith confession. It is simply how we relate with God. The moment you accept God as your source, then there is covenant. There is the covenant of obedience. Covenant obedience. And covenant obedience enables you to lose attachment to material things. And this is one of the pillars that separates the believer from the unbeliever. The same way unbelievers are dedicated to their gods, dedicated to their shrines, dedicated to their demonic altars, satanic altars, you and I must be dedicated to God. You and I must be dedicated to God. What separates you and I from those in the cult world, in those who are in the satanic world, who have gotten prosperity through Satan, is that we obey God with everything he has given us. We're watching a reality show. We stumbled upon a reality show. I and my wife the other day and the girls were watching this reality show. And these girls, it's about Slay Queen, something like that, And it's after watching that, I feared for men, I tell you. And I'm serious. After watching that, I feared for men. These ladies talk about how they go into covenants with serpents. So that once the men sleep with them, they never walk away. And that the men will give them. Is there on Netflix? Is it Netflix or Showmax? Is there? It's not something that is a secret. Is there? I think it's called Slay Queen, something like that. Now, imagine a Christian sister who sees such girls driving a Maybach and comes to say, but she doesn't pray the way I pray. And yet, she drives a Maybach. And yet, she has gone to covenant herself with serpent. She said, one of the ladies said, the serpent entered into her through her private parts. The serpent, it's there on Netflix. Go look for it, you'll find it. The serpent entered into her and came out. Trouble. Can you imagine the men who enter into her? What the covenant they enter into. That's why the man, after entering, he's confused. His entire life is messed up. The girl tells him, I need 2 million rands. He has no choice but to give. Why am I saying all of this? I'm trying to make you understand that never compare yourself with unbelievers. Unbelievers are dedicated to Satan. You and I must be dedicated to God. When I say wake up to pray.
Wake up to pray. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So understand that your labor is nothing without the favor and the blessing of God on that labor. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which is swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It is God who gives you power to get wealth. So covenant obedience is our life with God, which is prayer, gratitude, faith, confession. Covenant obedience is how we live with God. If you are willing and obedient, the Bible says, you shall eat the good of the land. Isaiah 1:19. So our disposition and relationship towards God is a major pillar for, you know, kingdom prosperity. It's a major pillar for kingdom prosperity. Listen, friends, keep speaking the word of God. Keep waking up in the morning to pray. If you can, come into the building. Join me, let's pray. Because all of these are the keys that, you know, opens us up to kingdom prosperity. Maintain an atmosphere of gratitude. Understand that an atmosphere of gratitude provokes joy in you. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. In the times of recession, the joy of the Lord is your strength. In the times of abundance, the joy of the Lord is your strength. In the times of inflation, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. Many people are stranded because their emotion is locked into material things. And when those things are not available anymore, they struggle to be happy and joyful. And the psalmist tells you and I, let the people praise you, O God. Let other people praise you. Then the earth shall yield and increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. That's Psalm 67, verse 5 to 7. He said, God, our source, will bless us. And all the ends of the earth, all the ends of the earth will fear him. I pray for you today, as your amen will thunder, may the blessing of God in your life unlock curiosity in the heart of unbelievers in the name of Jesus. Receive the fearful blessing of God in the name of Jesus. I declare, come into increase like never before in the name of Jesus. May they come to seek your source because of his blessing on your life in the name of Jesus. May the blessing of God on your life and family, may it point people to Jesus in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. So kingdom prosperity flows from a life rooted in covenant relationship with God. Prosperity is not a pursuit. Prosperity is a product of alignment. When your heart is yielded, your hands will be filled. When your heart is yielded, your hands will be filled. I say for the last time, when your heart is yielded, your hands will be filled. Confession is how you speak the covenant into manifestation. And listen, friends, heaven responds to the voice of faith. Heaven responds to the voice of faith. Number two pillar of kingdom prosperity is the works of our hands. That speaks of your career, business, and your vocational expression. Now, I want to say this, friends. Hear me, and I'm not mixing words with this, and I'm saying with every sense of responsibility and seriousness, stop giving excuses for idleness and lack of engagement. Stop giving excuses for idleness and lack of engagement. It is not biblical. This pillar of works of our hands, it's the pillar of real engagement. Why? Because God blesses the works of our hands according to Deuteronomy 28 verse 12. But an idle person will live from hand to mouth. And this is the lowest level to live life. Child of God, you have to be engaged to be able to engage the source. You have to be engaged to be able to engage the source. When you're not engaged, you cannot engage the source. Your heavenly Father wants to direct your steps to some channels. And some channels will not look like it initially. Go ask some people who have come into wealth. When God led them to those channels, it didn't really look like it. But as they obediently followed the voice of the Holy Ghost, the channel God led them to became their source of wealth today. But if you don't want to be engaged, you will always struggle when God leads you. Whether you are young or old, find a place that you can add value to. Be busy doing something. Find a place to be engaged in productive work. Even if they are not paying you for it yet, or they are not paying you anything, you don't know what God can do through it.
If you have skill, ask someone who needs it. Go use it for them. Don't ask them for money. Go use it for them. Use it and bless them, because if they didn't employ you, you're asking them, can I use my skill? They most likely will not want to pay you. But use that skill, because the more you're using that skill, the more you're fine-tuning the skill. The more you're honing the skill. The more you use it, the more you're fine-tuning it. Use that skill. Use it to be a blessing to someone. Be busy with your hands. Be busy with your mind rather than you idling away. We've seen that a lot in the house of God. A lot of a generation that decided to rise up and idle away. And they call it, you know, the whole day. Say, you know, I just have been receiving, been listening to revelation. Listening to, stop. Can you just stop that, please? Listening to which revelation? And before you know it, listen, time waits for no man. That is the truth. Whatever you don't do now, the time will pass. You will have missed the opportunity of doing it, but the time will not have waited for you. That is why there is a time for everything under the sun. There is a time for everything. There is a time for everything. I tell my wife, the reason I work so hard like this as a preacher, as a servant of God, is to make full proof of my ministry. And also, at the same time, I know that there are things I will not be able to do when I reach 65 years. There are things I will not be able to do when I hit 70 years. There are things I will not be able to when I hit 80 years. So let me do them now. So by the time I get to those years, I'm not regretting and looking back. I should have done this. And if I had done this, it would have brought me here. But if I had done it when I'm supposed to do it, then when I get to where I'm supposed to get to, I will have no regrets. Because I've made the necessary investment. The reason why some are not employable today is because when they were supposed to acquire skill, they didn't get it. They were playing around. When they were supposed to get certificates, they didn't get it. They were playing around. And before you know it, time flies. Tick, says the clock. Tick, tick. What you have to do, do quick. Then they get to an age where they are not employable. Pastor Malaka, they are not employable. That they are not binding the devil. Satan, I bind you. I bind you. As I submit my CV, Holy Ghost, fire. Nala you. They ain't no Holy Ghost fire anything. Because you submit your CV, how would they give you that job when you are not qualified for it? That would be an error. You want to kill the company? You want to destroy it? Amen. So be doing something, do something, do something. Until you start taking steps, you cannot engage the miraculous. In Luke chapter 5, the lepers that Jesus met, he didn't do anything to them, remember? He didn't lay hands to heal them when he met them. He said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. In those days, in the Levitical law, a priest was the one who certifies a leper as being cleansed. So if you're going to show yourself to the priest, it means you believe that you are cleansed. So as they took that step, they were cleansed. They went by faith and they were cleansed. Imagine if they didn't go. And that is how it is also in other areas of life. Hear this, friends. Devil tempts everybody. The devil tempts everybody. But an idle man tempts the devil. I repeat. The devil tempts everybody. But you see, an idle man, he's the one tempting the devil. He's the one tempting the devil. And anyone that is idling away is just looking for Satan's trouble. Because as they say, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. So when you are idle, you have opened a shop for the devil. Many say, but pastor, you know, I've been applying and applying. Nothing is coming out of it. Continue to apply. But while you're applying, go and render your service and skills somewhere for free. Help somebody. Just do something to add value. Hear me. Never mind being underemployed until one day you are overemployed. Most people who started life, they were underemployed before today. Now, most of them now are overemployed. They were underemployed. Some came into, you know, I will never forget the story of the former CEO of First National Bank, Zueli Manyati. The man entered into FMB as a cleaner, left FMB as the CEO of First National Bank. entered FMB as a clean. He started being underemployed. But by the time he retired out of FMB, he was overemployed. Give the Lord your praise, please. The challenge is some of you want to, some people want to start, not you, some people want to start, you know, from 100,000 rand salary. Eh? Is that your value? Stop that. I must start. If they're not going to pay me 100,000, I won't do. Oh, I'm laughing in AI. I've graduated. My life is now in AI. Okay. That's fine. Don't collect that 10,000 and be celebrating Jesus until you grow in that environment. Hallelujah. Look at this verse quickly. Look at this verse. It says, the thief who has become a believer must no longer steal, but instead he must work hard, making an honest living, producing that which is good with his own hands. Did you see that? Producing what is good with his own hands so that he will have something to share with those in need. This means you should not be the one that is always in need. The Bible expects you to also one day have something to share to those who are also in need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then when you go to Colossians chapter 3, when you read from verse 23 to 24, it talks about us that we should do our job as to worshiping the Lord. So even you that is employed, do your job as unto the Lord. Do your job as unto the Lord. Even if you feel that you are underemployed, do your job as unto the Lord. Do it with your whole heart. Do it with your whole heart. Because God's blessings flow from what we do. Our job, our business, our vocational expression. Do your job with your work. Let your organization be grateful that they employed you. Let it not be that they regret ever giving you that employment. And we must engage very well. Anyone that is pursuing kingdom prosperity but turns away from engaging in meaningful work is an unserious believer. Anyone, I repeat, you are pursuing kingdom prosperity, but you're turning away from engaging in meaningful work, you are unserious as a believer, and you need to seek for counseling. Amen. As a believer, you and I must be diligent. A career that is surrendered to God, a business built on kingdom values, becomes channels for prosperity and impact. And you and I must plug ourselves into it. Tell yourself that what God is putting in my hands must be a channel for kingdom prosperity. All through the Bible, you will see, you know, be it Father Abraham, he had a business. He was diligent in that business. He was into animal husbandry. Isaac was a farmer. The Apostle Paul himself, he was a tent maker, which in our own time, he was in the construction industry. Do you know Aquila and Priscilla, if you have ever heard that name, is on the scripture. Aquila and Priscilla, who were powerful partners with Paul in ministry. Do you know that they met in business? They were tent makers as well. It was in they met in the place of business, and that business relationship translated and transitioned into ministry. Aquila and Priscilla. It transcended, their relationship transcended professional life into ministry. There is no patriarch in the Bible that was idle. No patriarch in the Bible that was idle. And God wants to bless the work of our hands, but you and I must demonstrate diligence. You and I must demonstrate diligence. And I pray for you. May the Lord make you stand before kings in the name of Jesus. May your work stand before kings in the name of Jesus. May your work stand out in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise one more time. Number three, quickly, divine ideas and creativity. Number three pillar for kingdom prosperity, divine ideas and creativity. You can be intentional and deliberate in trusting God for divine ideas. Do you know that one of the attributes of God is he is the all-knowing God, the omniscient God? And you cannot be a son or daughter of the all-knowing God and you're not accessing divine ideas consistently. The wisdom of God is the source of all creative ideas. Look at our world today. Look at what's happening in our world today. Our world today is scary, what is happening in our world today. I keep asking myself, 5 years from now, what will our world look like with the level of creativity, the depth of ideas, what is flowing around? Look at what is happening. Why? Because we live in a world where ideas rule the world. Ideas are available to us at different levels. You're a chef, ideas available to you. You're an engineer, ideas available to you. You're a medical doctor, ideas available to you. You're a teacher, ideas available to you. Listen, friends, we all have ideas available to us at different levels and different sectors of life. The idea I need as a chef is not the idea an engineer will need. But ideas are available to us by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. So as a believer who is desiring kingdom prosperity, don't waste your prayers on asking God for money. Oh God, you know, as I step out now, may somebody just locate me with 1 million rands. Nalayo, poverty is locating you. Stand up. You ask God for ideas. God, give me ideas that will bring value, that will bring money. Ask God for creative ideas. When God said, I will open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, he wasn't talking about money. He was talking about creative ideas, solutions, innovations, inspirations. Allow the Holy Ghost inspire your mind. Allow the Holy Ghost inspire your mind. Allow the Holy Ghost be clear. The challenge is we fill our mind with too much junk that the Holy Ghost have no room to inspire it. Allow the Holy Ghost inspire your mind. Every God-given creative idea will attract its material equivalent when it is stewarded properly. And I pray for you, may our Father make you a solution center in the name of Jesus. May the Holy Ghost inspire your mind for creative ideas in the name of Jesus. I say receive creative ideas in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. Listen, friends, God prospers his people by giving them ideas, innovations. The Holy Spirit inspires us to meet real needs, solve problems, and create value. So your prayer should be, what should be your prayer? Your prayer should be, my Father, give me inspired solution, creative and innovative ideas that will create real value and enable me to solve problems in my industry. In the name of Jesus. Your industry needs your problem-solving ideas. And you have it. I say you have it. I say you have it. Hear me, friends. The Church of Jesus Christ serves as the foundation of innovation. The foundation of value creation in our society. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And this must show. How do we show that? By creative ideas. When solutions are flowing from believers, that is how the believer is salting the earth. That is how the believer is salting the earth. So as you are praying in tongues, as you pray in tongues, the heavens should open over your life. Creative ideas should flood into your heart. As you pray in tongues. Listen, praying in tongues is not only after praying in tongues. No, praying in tongues is so that ideas, your mind opens up, inspiration comes, innovation comes. The mind begins to function at the frequency of the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Number four, and the last one, the last pillar is the pillar of giving, which is generosity towards God and man. Now, this we emphasize a lot in the church, but we have to keep emphasizing it because it is also the foundation of everything. It is the foundation of everything. This is the foundation of everything. So we started, number one, with our disposition towards God. And this will say, make any covenant obedience, making God our source and, you know, our relationship with him. Number two, we looked at being, you know, it's not good for you to be idle. And we doing our work and our business as unto the Lord. Number three, we went into trusting God for creative and innovative ideas. And now the fourth pillar, which is giving, the pillar of generosity. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, I read TPT translation only. It says, I've left you an example of how you should serve and take care of those who are weak. For we must always cherish the words of our Lord Jesus, who taught giving. Who taught? Jesus taught. So Jesus taught giving. Never forget that. Don't let anybody confuse you on social media. Jesus taught giving. Who taught? Giving brings a far greater blessing than receiving. The average person sees giving as money leaving them. But the word of God tells you and I that giving brings far greater blessing than receiving. Biblical principle is when you take out, it doesn't diminish you. Worldly mindset says when you take out, it will finish. Which one are you going to believe? When you give tithe, which has been attacked severely. You know, I've said in two services already. I don't know any other thing in the church that have been attacked severely like tithe. My God, what is it? Calm down. Amen. If anybody wants their page to make sense, just put tithe. I tell you, their social media page will make sense. But yet, it's a biblical principle. It's still a biblical principle. It doesn't diminish you. Everyone who loves God must be able to ask themselves, how do I want to commit to God through the resources he has given me in percentage giving? Forget all the argument about Old Testament, New Testament, this Testament, that Testament. In the New Testament, you know, we should be giving generously. Yes, we should give generously. No, you shouldn't even, you can even give 90%. Listen. A sister is struggling to be faithful with 10%. You're telling her to give 90%. She will just... She can't give 10% of half a million rands. She's still struggling. 10% of half a million rands. Her heart is still beating like the drum in my village. Kukum, kum, kum. Just 10%. You now come and tell the same sister to give you 90% of half a million rand. Be real now, guys. Let's just be real. Let's not, you know, there are things that even we should think as humans that have the Holy Ghost. So you and I, We must forget all the argument about Old or New Testament. We can't even begin to say to someone, give beyond 10% when they can't even give the 10% the Bible spoke of. They are still struggling to do that. When people argue that these things, do you know what it tells me? It tells me that they still don't understand discipleship. And one of the things they fail to mention is that our father of faith, Abraham, gave his tithe long before the law was ever written. You see that in Genesis 14 from verse 17 to 20. The last part says, Abraham gave Melchizedek, which was a prototype of Christ, gave Melchizedek a tenth of all he possessed. The challenge is people think when they give to God, they are diminishing. But what you don't know is that when you give out, you are unlocking more channels to yourself because your source is more delighted to give to you. Your source is more delighted in you, more delighted to give to you. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. As I close with this statement, this last words, let me show you quickly, I close with them. Five areas of giving that believers must be involved in. Number one, tithing and offerings. Number two, giving to parents. Number three, giving to the poor. Number four, giving to kingdom projects. Number five, prophet's offering. Tithes and offering cannot be overemphasized. A true disciple of Jesus Christ must ask themselves, how can I connect my resources to honor God? The recommendation which we saw predates the Old Testament. The recommendation to which we saw with our father Abraham, it predates the Old Testament into the Old Testament, and it was emphasized in the New Testament with a different language now called generosity. In the New Testament, people were even selling their lands and houses and brought everything to God. They displayed sacrificial giving. Who is ready to sell their house here so that we can use the money for? Don't raise your hand. If you raise your hands, you will have to, honestly speaking, you will have to sell that house because I have witnesses. A brother can't give 10%. You tell him to go and sell his house. But that was the level they functioned in. Predates the law, emphasized all through the law. Coming into the new covenant, they now started talking about sacrificial giving. Sacrifice. But he mentioned something in that. He said, you know, they first of all gave themselves to us. The reason why a believer will struggle with giving tithe is because he has not given himself to God. He can't give any other thing. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed?
So giving your tithe is because you know that God is your source and your sustainer, and you must remain connected to him. So number two, one I want to touch quickly is giving to parents. Giving to parents is a major area of giving. There are some kind of giving you give to your parents. The kind of prayer they pray for you. Even no prophet on this earth will be able to pray that kind of prayer and it will work. Only your parents have that anointing and that grace to release a prayer on you. You pray, there are some, you give to your parents, they pray. Your mother, your father doesn't have to have a good prayer language. All they just need to do is to open their mouth and speak. Yeah. No devil will come near you. And giving to parents provoke that. The Bible says, honor your father and mother so that your days may be long on the earth. You can't be earning salary or profit from your business and there is no amount you have dedicated to resourcing your parents. No amount you have dedicated to resourcing your parents. For some men, you're resourcing all your girlfriends. To resource your parents is by you can't. You have girlfriend in Sishiu. You have girlfriend in town. You have girlfriend in Muleji. You have girlfriend in... And all of them get girlfriend allowance. But your mama will carry you for belay. You don't resource her. And then you carry your stubborn children and go and dump with her. You're resourcing everybody, excluding your mother and father. You keep making, you know, I don't want to give my mother is a witch. She's hindering my progress. Eh? She didn't kill you in the womb. Carried you for 9 months, breastfed you, sent you to school. She didn't kill you all that time. It's now with your change, she wants to kill you. There are some people, when their mother asks them for money or their father, the way they throw tantrum, that carries a blessing. Resource your parents. You cannot be earning salary, good salary, that in a month you never get to send your mother anything. Ah! And you come here lifting up holy hands. Which holy hands? Bring it down. Bring the hands down. Your father, you have never. Father's Day come, you don't do anything. Mother's Day come, you don't do anything. There are some of you here, you have never sent your parents money this year. Should we do a census? Let's not embarrass anybody. This year, we are now in the 7th month. You have not sent your parents money this month, this year. Not even this month, this year. You've not. And for the men, you've sent all your girlfriends, you've scattered everywhere. You've sent them money everywhere. Their Brazilian weave, is it weave? Wig is your money. And your father can't even cut hair of 20 rand. And you buy wig of 50,000 on a girl's head, the empty skull. You buy wig. Your father, 20 rand hair, the man can't cut because he has no money. And you keep buying wig, put on a girl's head. And you think that such a thing is good. Listen, even if your parents don't depend on you, still send them money. Send them money. Young people, listen to me. Some of you, your parents will never need anything from you till they die. Like, my wife will never need anything from Zoe and Danette till we die. But wisdom should demand that they should send. And they do that. You know, the last Father's Day, those girls took all their savings and blessed me. And I received it. And in return, I put the money back to them again. Because I'm the father. I'm like Solomon. Bible said Queen of Sheba brought everything. Solomon said, what is this? He took everything and doubled it and gave back. Because that's how fathers behave. Give Jesus praise. Hear this. Anyone that will not give tithes, listen, they will not honor their parents too. They will take the same mindset towards their parents. Honoring your parents with generosity is covenant thinking. Go be a blessing to your parents. Lastly, prophet's offering. And I'll close. Prophet's offering. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18 to for verse 14 to 18 TPT translation. You know, this is one area that, you know, if you attend a live church, you know that we don't speak about it. Probably this will be the first time, you know, I decided to handle this series myself. You know, because you need to hear from the father of the house. We never speak about this. We are too blessed. I'm too blessed. Honestly, God has blessed me. I'm not a millionaire yet, but God has blessed me. I never go to bed hungry. Amen. And here Paul, this is Paul speaking here. He said, you have so graciously provided for my essential needs during this season of difficulty. For I want you to know that the Philippian church was the only church that supported me in the beginning as I went out to preach the gospel. You were the only church that sowed into me what? What did they sow to Paul? Prayer? Answer now, people now, answer. What did they sow to Paul? What did they sow to Paul? Intercession. They sold money to Paul. And when I was in Thessalonica, you supported me for well over a year. I mentioned this not because I'm requesting a gift. I'm teaching not because I'm requesting a gift. I'm too blessed. The amount of blessing I bless people every week. You know, I'm too blessed. Too blessed. Too blessed, honestly. But we have to teach you so that the blessing of God, you can be able to come into certain level of material blessing. He said, I do that not because I'm requesting a gift, but so that the fruit of your generosity may bring you an abundant reward. I know I now have all I need, more than enough. I am abundantly satisfied, for I've received the gift you sent by Epaphroditus and viewed it as a sweet sacrifice, perfumed with the fragrance of your faithfulness, which is so pleasing to God. This is Paul speaking. And by the time he now finished, he now comes to verse 19, which everyone knows here. He now arrived in verse 19. And my God shall supply. Can you put verse 19 for us, please? And my God. You can use KJV. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ. But do you know that you have no right praying that verse 19 until you have done verse 18? That prayer is not a generic prayer for everybody. It's for prophet's offering. That's why you see believers. And my God shall supply all my needs. Verse 16 and 17 and 18 is looking at you. Like, continue. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Verse 19 was a result of the prophet's offering. It was a prayer made over the people who gave to Paul financially, who was their prophet there. The Bible also tells us, you know, Paul really was serious about this, you know, prophet's thing. Eh? Go to Galatians. Let me show you another one. Let's read it quickly. Galatians chapter 6. Put on the screen for us. Thank you. It says, 1-3, let's go. Wait, I know when it comes to this area, your voice is low. Now, let's raise our volume. I won't even use microphone. Let's raise our volume. 1-3, go.
He said, share every good thing with the one who is laboring to teach you the word of God.
And CV puts it this way. Share every good thing you have with anyone who teaches you what God has said. Share every good thing. Provide for your teachers. Share every good thing. Do you know that believers share with their pastors everything excluding good? They share their pain with their pastors. They share their battles with their pastors. They will call you in the midnight, you know, while they call you. They share their bereavement. They share everything. Their sickness, they share with you. Everything. But when it comes to good, they are not sharing with you. Some even hide when good comes to them. I'm not lying now. Every pastor can testify to that. Every pastor on the planet Earth. They share with their pastors everything. When there is problem, they share with their pastor. When they are going through challenges at work, they share with their pastor. When they get salary increase, they don't share with their pastor. When there is debt, they share with their pastor. Excluding good things. And yet, Paul said, share good things with those who teach you the word of God. Prophet's offering. Prophet's offering. If I don't teach you this, nobody else will teach you. When good things happen to believers, they don't ever want to share with their pastor. Instead, they hide it. They give to the man of God. Giving to the man of God who teach you is very key, is healthy for you. Give to the man of God. Some of you are probably hearing it for the first time in this place. We don't show it to you from script. We show it to you from scriptures so that you stop cheating yourself. Because if we do not show it to you, then we'll be cheating you. We'll be cheating you. And there are opportunities, you know, from time to time, you look at yourself and ask yourself, you know, how can I be in a church like this and nothing has ever flown out from me to resource my pastor who teaches me the word and prays for me? You know, they don't have to ask you for it. But you know, when you come into a church where the pastors are so blessed, whose eyes is on Jesus, but you may be missing out. It's pastor's birthday time. You see cake emojis everywhere. Like, wait, my friend, how do you feel in your heart? Today I came for you. Right? It's conference. How do you feel? Father's Day. Hey, they go bring that. There's this picture with tie. Whoever designed that thing must be arrested. I tell you the truth. That's what everybody is sending to you. How does an emoji tie enhance my life? Can someone give me an explanation? Because we live in a generation where ingratitude makes people not to see why they must honor those who have been a blessing to them. Some of you, your boss in your office, you've been working in that office now for 10 years. Your boss's birthday come and go. You have never bought a gift for your boss to say happy birthday. Thank you for always, you know, making sure that my salary is paid. Your boss in the office. Thank you. Thank you for not writing anything that will have fired me. Thank you. Just thank you for being my boss. You're now working there for 10 years. Your boss's birthday comes and go. Instead, you're asking for cake. Hey, it's your birthday. When are you buying us cake? Gimme, because my name is Jimmy. Your boss, you have never take 100 rand and say, boss, happy birthday. Thank you for being my boss. We may not have agreed on everything, but I love you, man. Take this 100 rand, even if it's KFC to Streetwise 2, buy and eat. Hallelujah. Were you blessed? Do you still love me? I know you do. Let's give Jesus praise. Let's go home. I want you to hold the hand of someone next to you. Let's rise on our feet and close the service. Hold the hand of someone next to you, and we're going to make this prayer, and we're done. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, it says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Hold the hands of that person. Please, I want you to declare over them, say, in the name of Jesus, I declare you are generous. I release the spirit of generosity over you. Because you're part of this house that is generous, let the grace of generosity be upon you. The hold of greed is broken off your life. The hold of stinginess be broken off your life. From this service, I release you into generosity. Be a blessing to your world. Be a blessing to your family. Be a blessing to God and to everyone God positions around you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. It is done. Give the Lord your praise. Celebrate the Lord because He is your source. Give Jesus praise. He is your source. The channel may dry up, but the source will never dry up. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.